The first time I saw him, I thought he looked like a lion. He was 6'2", though I knew then only that he was tall. And in fact, his height seemed even greater because he was big tall, not skinny tall. He had broad shoulders and a large head, and his hair was several inches longer than it would be later, which drew attention to its coppery color. His beard was the same shade. I suppose I thought he looked like a handsome lion, but even from a distance he seemed full of himself in a way that canceled out his handsomeness. He seemed like a person who took up more than his share of oxygen. This sighting took place in Yale Law School's student lounge in the fall of 1970, my second year of law school and his first. I was with my friend Nick, and Bill was speaking in his loud, husky, southern-accented voice to a group of 5 or 6 other students. With great enthusiasm, he declared, "And not only that, we grow the biggest watermelons in the world." Nick and I looked at each other and began laughing. "Who is that?" I whispered. "Bill Clinton," Nick whispered back. "He's from Arkansas, and that's all he ever talks about." The next thing Nick told me was actually, at Yale Law School, less notable than being from Arkansas. He was a Rhodes Scholar. After I'd been accepted at both Harvard and Yale, I'd decided where to go using a rule I'd established for myself at such an early age, probably in 3rd or 4th grade, that I had trouble remembering a time when I hadn't abided by it. Though I'd never discussed it with anyone, I thought of it as the rule of 2. If I was unsure of a course of action but could think of 2 reasons for it, I'd do it. If I could think of 2 reasons against it, I wouldn't. Situations arose, of course, where there were 2 or more reasons both for and against something, but they didn't arise that frequently. Should I, as a high school freshman, take Latin? Because I'd heard the teacher was outstanding and because it would help me with the SATs? Yes. Should I attend my church youth group's retreat at Gebhard Woods State Park if it meant missing my friend Betty's Sweet 16 party? Because the date of the retreat had been announced first, and because a church event was inherently more moral than a party? Yes. Should I style my hair in a beehive? Yes. Should I major in history? No. Should I major in political science? Yes. Should I start taking the pill? Yes. After Dr. King's assassination, should I wear a black armband? Yes. That my reasons were often simply articulations of my own preferences wasn't lost on me, but in the privacy of my own head, who cared? The reasons I'd ultimately chosen Yale were, 1, its commitment to public service, and 2, when I'd attended a party at Harvard Law after my acceptance there, a professor had declared that Harvard didn't need more women. As with Yale, the number of female law students at Harvard was then at about 10%, and I was slightly tempted to enroll just to spite this professor, but only slightly. One evening in March 1971, shortly after spring break, I was studying in the law library, which was in a striking Gothic building. The library occupied a long room filled with carrels. Above the bookshelves were large, arched, stained glass windows, and bronze chandeliers hung from the wood ceiling. I'd been sitting at a carrel for 90 minutes, and every time I looked up, I made eye contact with Bill Clinton, the lion. He was about 20 feet away, perched on a desk, and talking to a man I didn't know. I wondered if Bill was confusing me with someone else. Then again, since only 27 students my year were women, it shouldn't have been that difficult to keep us straight. I stood, approached him, and said, "I noticed you looking at me. Is there something you need?" I extended my hand. "I'm Hillary Rodham." He smiled slowly and broadly, and in his warm, husky southern voice, he said, "I know who you are." Oh, Bill Clinton's smile. More than 45 years have passed since that night in the library. And at times it's crossed my mind that his smile may have ruined my life. He added, "You're the one who told off Professor Geaney on Ladies' Day."